Welcome to Ink and Pete, a podcast where memoir and Ireland share the stage. We talk with authors, guides, ghostwriters, and other free spirits drawn to memoir or enchanted by Ireland. I'm Barb Robitaille.
And I'm Craig Stewart.
Box player, singer, folk music advocate, Andrew Gillespie is a consummate musician and leading figure in the Killala Bay music scene. Andrew joins us for a chat about playing the box, memorable sessions, and how traditional music is alive and well in Ireland today. You can be sure if you're lucky enough to share a session or an evening with Andrew, you're in for some great crack indeed.
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it. He talks in the chat about how we first met him. He came down and brought his box to a feast that Dennis and Una had prepared for us.
I remember that night very well.
And we became fast friends right then and there.
What a treat.
Yeah, a real treat.
It was.
And then we got to see him a couple of other times. He brought us a turkey. Remember, he brought us a turkey for Thanksgiving when we were there.
I remember that.
It was the most delicious turkey I've ever eaten in my life.
It was the best turkey ever.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's got a heart as big as all outdoors. Yeah.
He is a prince.
He is a prince among the rest of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful baritone voice. Love it when he sings. Mm-hmm. He sings these long ballads that, I mean, I can barely remember my social security number, let alone the verses of a 500 verse song. It just keeps going. Anyway, he's got it down.
He does. He does.
Yeah.
And we're so fortunate to know him, and looking forward to see him again in September. And in the meantime, on our wall, we have a beautiful photograph of the village of Killala taken from the bay, mm-hmm, that Andrew presented to us as a gift the day we left.
Yeah, a parting gift. Kind of. Got a little choked up there.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what a treasure on
our
wall.
Yeah. So we've never really left Killala.
No. I think it's time to put the kettle on and have a listen to Andrew Gillespie.
Andrew, hello. Welcome. It's great to see you and to talk with you today.
Yeah, it's been a while.
One of the things we'd like to tell our people about is the fantastic music in County Mayo, especially, but most especially in Killala. You are a box player, which you might want to explain what a box is to our people. But also, we're trying to explain what trad music is. What is trad music anyway? And what are the roots of trad music?
Wow, that's a question I wasn't expecting to hear or try to answer. And I would say that question has been asked of others over the years. And I don't think there's probably a definitive answer. But as much as I know about it, it's traditional music, traditional Irish music is the music of the people, I guess. You know, it's for the most part, it's a rural-based folk music created and played by the common people. Now, that might sound a little I don't know what's the word, populist or something, but that's my understanding of it. Now, that's not to say that our traditional music is just confined to rural areas in the west of Ireland or the south of Ireland, north of Ireland. It's alive and very, very well in our cities as well.
With the social media taking off and technology and all, I was just curious that the effect that has on trad music.
Totally. It's another step, I guess, in the evolution of the music. The music hasn't changed as such, but it's definitely another step, I guess, forward in promoting the music and getting it to, I guess, a wider audience. Having said that, it's in a very healthy state, and it has been and long before social media, but it does happen to help it just happened to help the tradition and the promotion of it. Yeah.
Now, when did you start playing the box? And tell us a little bit about the box and when did you start playing? What drew you to it?
Yeah. We don't use it. Yeah, it's not an often used term, accordion, but the box is an actual accordion. Okay. And when you, if you describe yourself or if you describe another person who happens to play the accordion or the box, they are talking specifically about the button box or the button accordion, as opposed to the big piano accordions that you might see from time to time. But and the box, we call it the box from here on in. It's a fairly recent addition to Irish traditional music, in so far that it probably first made an appearance in the early 1900s. But because it was, it first made its appearance in Irish traditional music and in homes, we'll say, in the early 1900s. The reason for that, it was quite a robust instrument. It can stand climates and different environments, and comparatively speaking, they were cheaper than other instruments. So most households could afford a basic box, for want of another word, you know. So I mean, there was a time here in the west of Ireland, especially, where there was probably a box in every house, in every townland and in every village, you know. Being the, you know, the early 1900s being what they were, you know, with no electricity, things like that, you know, people in houses, you know, tried to find ways of entertaining themselves and entertaining the neighbors, and what better way than to, I guess, play music. And the box was quite a utilitarian way of doing that, you know.
Yeah, so it's got the whole range of sounds and
a whole, exactly. That's exactly what it was. It could, it probably gave a big bang for its buck, right? You know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you could knock a lot of music out of a box. You could knock a lot more noise than music in some ways. Anyways, but for my own part and my own family history in it. Both my father's parents, Nan and Frank Gillespie, they were musicians in their own right, insofar as they played in their house and people came to their house and they'd have house dances. And this would be in the 1920s, I guess, 1920s, 30s, 40s. And Nan, my grandmother Nan, God be good to her, she played fiddle. And my grandfather Frank, he played the box. And then on my mother's side, her mother, my grandmother, Selina Flaherty, she was actually quite an accomplished, I call her an accordion player. She was quite an accomplished accordion player. And she was sort of highly regarded on the London scene. She emigrated and played in London from the 40s right up to the early 80s. So there was always music, and there was always an accordion in our house anyway, at least one, you know. So I got to the age of, I guess, 12, and my father just came to me one day, and he wasn't the type of guy that you contradicted or disobeyed. But put his accordion into my lap and said, well, now you have to learn this. You have to play this, you know. And as it so happened, just by chance, well, obviously I was going to do what he said, but within 6 months of, you know, taking it up, I just fell in love with it, you know, and fell in love with the music. So, you know, it was probably the only thing that he ever told me to do that I ended up, I took pleasure in doing, you know.
It's in your blood.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Exactly. It's exactly that. Yeah. And my entire family, like my father was a rough and ready box player, you know, most of them were around these parts, you know, He was able to knock out quite a number of tunes. He was able to get people to dance anyway, and that's what it's all about. If you can get people to stir their feet, you must be doing something right. And he was good at that. But then again, my mother, Monica, you met my mother, Monica. She's a great singer. You know, she still is a great singer, but she had a great, great voice and a great dancer. Yeah, so there was music in the house all the time, you know. We had quite an eclectic record collection, or I should say my parents had. They had everything from Seamus Ennis, the great piper, to Joe Burke, the great box player, to Marty Robbins and Jim Reeves and all, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know.
How do you go about learning a tune? Like what, are there some tunes that have to be in your box lexicon that you need to, every tune, every player needs to learn how to play?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. There are the standards, you know, which is probably the same story for other musics around, for other, you know, traditions around the world, for the bluegrass player, he's got to learn, you know, what's that, Foggy Mountain Breakdown or whatever. But in Irish traditional music, yeah, there would be, say, I guess what we'd call them, the big tunes.
The big tunes, yeah.
The big tunes, you know. That's not to say that there would be good tunes, but there are, we call them, yeah. Well, that's a matter for opinion anyway.
Yeah.
There are big tunes that will say, that would get you into a session, you know. So you'd have, the Silver Spear, you'd have the Sally Gardens, Mrs. McClowes, the Box of Ore and More, these great stalwarts, you know. And there are some fantastic versions of those tunes, and there's some terrible versions of them as well, you know, but they are the ones that you would, you know, if you arrived at a session of music or something, you know, and someone from out of the crowd might approach you, and there's a fair good chance that they will say, well, will you play the Silver Spear? Will you play the Stanley Garn? Will you play Miss in the Clouds? And that, you know, and most musicians will have them in their repertoire.
Yeah. Right. You mentioned a session. Now, I think having witnessed a session, how would you describe a session to someone who has no idea? Like over here, for example, a session has a completely different connotation. How would you describe a really good session? And have you taken part in sessions that just still you think about?
Yeah. Yeah. I have to say, I've taken part in great sessions, and I've witnessed even better sessions, and they are the fondest memories I have. I have to say, a session to me, and we all have our different interpretation, you know, but a session to me is what I would describe as, we'll say, an open house, whether it's in Quinn's here in Canada, or whether it's in a public house where a group of musicians come to play, and if another musician happened to walk in, that there'll be a welcome for him or her, and invited in to join them and to sit down and play and sing together and share the same tunes, but most importantly, for me anyway, to make acquaintances and make friends. But I have an abiding memory from let me see, it would be 1997 in Gort in South County Galway at the Joe Cooley Kieran Collins weekend. It's still going on. It's held in October here. And we went into Johnny Walsh's pub, and Johnny's long gone now. His wife is still alive. And we went in, and I'm not saying it was the best music I ever heard, but it made a huge impression. It was very extremely good music. But what was great about it, which was the group of men that were playing. And there was Frank Jordan on flute from near Strokestown in County Roscommon. He's in his 90s now. There was Frank McGann, and at the time he would have been in his 70s. He's gone. He was a ballroom player, a great character. There was Paddy Mills from back further west from Killala in Barnatraw near Belmullet, fiddle player, great character. He's gone now as well. And Tom Gallagher, another man that's gone. He was from Ballycorrick, which was on the crossing line of the Belmullet Road, and he was a box player. And there were these, so the Frank, two Franks, Paddy Mills and Tom Galler, four men, each around, they would have been in their 70s at the time, each and every one of them. And they were sitting down playing the most beautiful music with big black pints of Guinness in front of them. And all four of them, big, big, strong men, and none of them were full-time musicians. They were farmers, labourers, stonemasons that worked all their lives, raised families, and they'd give up a couple of hours on a Sunday evening to make the most sublime music. And that, I've been chasing that ever since. Do you know what I mean?
Love
that. Is, you know, that was a session to me. You know, that's what it should be about. You know, not to take it too seriously. Give it your best, you know. And it's a two-way street as well. You know, I mean, you can go in and meet a group of people and play some music together for each other. But unless you have the people behind you, the listeners behind you, they'll bring out the best in you and you'll give it back to them as well.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
That is what traditional music means to me.
That's lovely. That's lovely. Mm. Talk a little bit about the Killala Bay Folk Club. How's it going and what was your goal there?
It's going great. Thanks, Craig. It's become a great, great success. And I cannot take full credit for setting up the club, despite what people might say, but I have to give great credit to Dennis Quinn and then the committee that we formed. And it has worked out extremely, extremely well. And it's a team effort, there's no doubt about it. But I guess the reason I thought about getting a club together as opposed to organizing, we'll say, a session in the pub was I had found, and it had been my experience, not for myself personally, but I'd met people over the years who were huge, huge fans of music, not necessarily Irish traditional music, but big fans of music, folk music anyway, who found it maybe a little intimidating to come into a session and sit down and meet people they hadn't met before. So I thought there's a way we can maybe accommodate everyone or anyone that might like to sing a song or tell a story or recite a poem or play some music, that we would have a dedicated space with a little bit of structure, but still very, very informal, but most especially welcoming to everybody and everyone. And so on thinking of that, I thought, I think the best way of achieving this would be to form a club in a dedicated space so that everybody in that space, in that room, were all there for the same reason and welcoming and especially encouraging of everybody else that was there. And it's proven itself to be a great, great success.
Well, having enjoyed at least two of them, I can say from a spectator participant's point of view that I felt so welcome, and I felt there was a deep respect for all musicians and all participants that I can't say I've felt too many places. I love it when someone will stand up and sing, like when you sing, or when someone just sings a solo ballad, you could hear a pin drop. To me, that is a real testament to the space you've created for musicians and people. So well done.
We're very happy with it. It's a good formula. It's working well for everybody. And the important thing, and this was also part of our goal, I guess, when we set up that if a person who I don't like to use, if I won't use the word stranger, but if a person arrived at the club that hadn't been there before, they'll always be assured of a welcome, whether they're an active contributor or not. I think first and foremost, well, it's all about music, but the music happens to be a bonus when it comes to what we do in the club. First and foremost, it's about a group of people that are open to getting to know each other and appreciative of each other, and whatever else happens after that, it's a bonus, as I said.
Yeah, still taking place at Lynn's, is it?
Still taking place in Lynn's, and David, as you know well, it's taken a couple of blocks to build this thing, and David Lynn, I have to say, it wouldn't be the success it is without his support. You know, he's our silent partner, and I couldn't imagine it being as successful as it is anywhere else, I have to say.
No, it's lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. And he won't take credit for anything either, the same way.
Uh-huh. Seems to be a common thread in Kalala.
yeah, well, possibly. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your influences now. You know, traditional music keeps going, as you said at the start of this, that it's alive and well. And it seems with the music in the world changing the way it is, with the world going so fast, what allows or what supports trad music in like the next generation or the younger? Are you seeing it in the younger generation? Are you seeing that in fact it will carry on? I mean, the session you described with the two Franks and all, is that dying off or is that still happening? Are you part of that? Will somebody say someday, oh, I saw Andrew Gillespie play the box and oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. What they would have said is, I saw Andrew Gillespie playing the box. God, he's crap. He should have given it up years ago. No, actually, back long before our time, but back in the, we'd say 40s and 50s, the traditional music was in trouble. I mean, Ireland was hemorrhaging our people, you know, they were immigrating to all corners of the globe. Then with the advent of the 60s and the various revivals that were occurring, traditional music got a great, great boost. And then up when I started in the early 80s, I guess, there was a few of us playing music in Kalala, a few kids whose parents were interested in music, you know. I'm not saying that we were oddities, but it wasn't usual, you know. And fast forward now to 2019, and music couldn't be in a better state. I mean, it's fantastic. There are traditional music lessons held in every primary school in the country, or pretty much every primary school in the country. And I'll give you an example. David Lynn from Johnny Lynn's pub in Kalala, where we host the folk club, he started a Sunday evening session 2 weeks ago, last Sunday being the 13th or 14th of June. He started a session running from 7 to 9. Great musicians, Joe Carey from Gisala, Stacey Gilroy from Kalala, who you know, and in comes parents from Kalala, Marcella Holmes and her husband Damien, with their four children, the eldest being 15. They just came in, sent in their lows, sat down and played the best of music.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so it's in a very, very, very healthy state. Very healthy state. And the thing is too, Craig, it wasn't cool when I started. Mm. But it's very, very cool now, you know. So I guess social media has helped a lot in that too, you know.
Boy, my first introduction to Irish music was the Chieftains and the Bothy Band and Plank.
Yeah.
You know, and you think it's come kind of full circle in a way to bring it back or keeping it going or something. I'm not really sure. I'm a huge fan myself, but I'm curious with the, as we've talked back when I was with you guys in Kalala, we talked about how pubs were sort of having a hard time and they're closing pubs all over the place. And I just wonder how that affects trad music. And it sounds like it's not affecting it at all in a way.
No, the music is doing well, but there's no doubt about it when it comes to pubs. Yeah, pubs are closing and that. But the truth is, originally, pubs weren't the original vehicle that traditional music was. Traditional music was always played in the houses or, weather permitting, at the crossroads. Now, that sounds sort of romantic, but that's actual fact, you know. And it wasn't until the 60s, as I mentioned before, with different movements and revivals, that pubs opened their doors. And the consequence of that as well, Craig, was that pubs opened their doors, or I shouldn't say they opened their doors, their doors were broken open by women who before that wouldn't have been welcome in public houses. So, you know, it was a social change on a lot of levels that brought traditional music into pubs, but the pubs were never the home of traditional music. Okay. Although I'd rather play in a pub with a pint than play in my kitchen drinking a cup of tea.
Right. Well, there you go. That sort of sums it up right there.
So that sums me up.
Oh, Andrew, I could talk to you for hours, thank you so much. And I'm just curious.
I'd like to recount a story, if you don't mind, whether you edit this later or not. But I did think about this talk we're going to have this evening when Dennis mentioned to me. And impressions mean everything. And for me, it's always been I often think of it, and I bless whatever high power there might be, but I give thanks to something that I wouldn't know half the people I know today if it wasn't for music. And those people are the best people I've ever known. And I've been enriched so much about it. And I often think if I'd wandered into a place and even though I mightn't be playing music, there might be music there, but to play music, engage in music and listen and music being part of your life is a great way of making the best of friends that you'll ever meet. And the first time I met you, it was down at Liz's colleges, yourself and Barb, remember? Mm-hmm. And Dennis and Una cooked a lovely, lovely meal. And Dennis has come down, meet these people. So I came down with the box. And then you went away and you came back and you took out this mandolin. And the first thing I noticed, oh, guy, this fella's playing a bloody 1910s era Gibson mandolin. He is a... can't wait to see what this guy's going to do, you know? And I remember I sang and you accompanied me on a song. It was Matt Hyland, I'll always remember, you know? And that's a memory that I will treasure forever. And that's what music should be.
Yeah, likewise, Andrew. Absolutely. I look forward to many, many more sessions.
Likewise. Can't wait to see you. You belong here.
Well, boy, don't I wish it. Andrew, thank you for your time. That was absolutely lovely. And we will look forward to making music with you and having you over and get some more stories out of you.
So do I. I'm really looking forward to seeing yourself and Barb. Yeah, and all the friends we've yet to meet.
Yeah. Oh, we've got some amazing people coming with us. And hopefully we'll have plenty of new tunes to play together.
Yeah, for sure. I need to start practicing.
Ah, me too. Done Sally Garden. We can move on.
Yeah, Sally Garden, Mr. McClough's books of work for all those old chestnuts.
All right, Andrew, all the best to you. And say hello to Annie.
I will. I was out walking with the dog. And give my love to Barb, please.
Will do. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Ink and Pete, a production of Memoir Tours Ireland. You can learn more about Memoir Tours and find other podcasts on our website, memoirtours.com.
And we'd love to know if you have ideas for shows or requests. We'd love to hear from you. Contact Craig or Barb at memoirtours.com.
Until next time, may you find joy where you least expect it.